In CI News this week, the government estimates that assisted suicide could save the NHS millions of pounds by ending thousands of lives early. Peers urge the government to abandon plans to introduce a home education register, and MPs attempt to decriminalise abortion by hijacking the Crime and Policing Bill. Hello and welcome to CI News on the 9th of May. I'm Angus Saul. The government has estimated that assisted suicide could save the NHS millions of pounds by ending thousands of lives early. The Department of Health and Social Care calculated that if Kim Leadbeater's bill became law, there could be up to 4,500 assisted suicides a year in England and Wales within 10 years. Estimated savings of between £5 and £60 million would come from a reduction in ambulance costs, A&E visits, hospital stays, outpatient visits, GP appointments, home visits, out-of-hours care, hospice costs and medication. The Institute's director, Kieran Kelly, emphasised that money must not be diverted from care to killing.
The problem at the heart of this impact assessment is that it puts no value on people's lives. As Christians, we believe that every human being has been made in the image of God and has an intrinsic value resulting from that, and that the impact assessment pays no attention to that, just as the bill pays no attention to that. And let's remember, we're talking about thousands of people. It's estimated that by year 10 could be as many as 7,500 people seeking assisted suicide, and that assumes it doesn't expand. And of course we see from everywhere else that the assisted suicide laws expand and expand over time. We have said for a long time that the assisted suicide bill is going to make people feel like a burden, and this impact assessment endorses that view, that these people are a burden, because it talks about savings of unutilised healthcare. So in other words, it's saying it's cheaper to help people to die than it is to help them to live. So I just want to continue to urge people to pray and to contact their MPs ahead of the report stage and the final vote.
In Scotland, a similar bill proposed by Liam MacArthur is due to be debated and voted on the 13th of May. First Minister John Swinney announced he will not vote for the bill, saying it would fundamentally alter the relationship between patients and clinicians. Peers have urged the government to abandon plans to introduce an intrusive and bureaucratic home education register. During a House of Lords debate on the Children's Wellbeing in Schools Bill, peers questioned the need for a register that could encroach on normal family life. Under the bill, parents must not only provide their names and addresses, but the amount of time each child spends receiving education from each parent. The same information must also be provided for anyone else who educates the child. Members of the House of Lords criticised such extensive intrusion into parental rights.
I think, and as other noble lords have said, it's shot through with the spirit of the state knows best, of state control, of seeing education as a vehicle for indoctrination, seeing children almost as the ward of state rather than as the property of their parents.
This constitutes state-mandated surveillance of family life on an unprecedented scale for law-abiding citizens choosing a perfectly legal form of education. And as highlighted in the learned Aidan O'Neill KC's legal opinion, there are significant questions over the scheme's convention compatibility as well as UK GDPR principles.
MPs are expected to have a conscience vote on decriminalising abortion in the coming months. Labour MPs Tonia Antoniazzi and Stella Creasy have each said they will put forward amendments to further liberalise abortion laws through the Crime and Policing Bill, which is currently progressing through Parliament. In Great Britain, abortion is currently permitted for most reasons up to 24 weeks and up to birth if the unborn child is deemed to have a disability. Inducing a miscarriage outside of the exemptions remains a crime, though prosecutions are rare. Tory MP Neil O'Brien warned that further liberalising abortion law could drive more women to attempt late-term, at-home abortions well beyond our 24-week abortion limit, needlessly putting their lives in danger. He called for MPs to instead urgently reinstate face-to-face medical appointments before abortion pills are prescribed to determine the gestation of the pregnancy and ensure that women seeking abortion are not being coerced. And finally, a family lawyer has exposed how no-fault divorce intensifies conflict between spouses rather than reducing it. James Grigg, partner and head of family law at HCR Law, told the Law Society Gazette that allowing couples to divorce without a reason has led to an increase of irrelevant claims, which often fuel rather than quash animosity. The Divorce, Dissolution and Separation Act came into effect in 2022. Under the law, couples can divorce in just 6 months and a spouse cannot contest the decision. According to the Ministry of Justice, only a quarter of divorce applications are submitted by both spouses. Grigg explained that being able to apportion responsibility at the start of the process by citing a spouse's adultery or unreasonable behaviour was important to many people. The removal of fault in the divorce regime as a legal concept is straightforward. However, removing it from the human psyche is far more complicated. To explore these stories and much more, visit our website, christian.org.uk, and be sure to follow us across our social media channels. Thanks for watching. Have a blessed weekend.